This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. The Bloomington City Council has voted to create a marijuana task force to look at implementation of the new state law legalizing use and sale of recreational cannabis. Mayor Terry Renner is in studio to discuss that development and more. The mayors of Bloomington Normal join us most Tuesdays after their regular and special council meetings. Mayor Renner, thanks for your time today on Sound Ideas.
Always great to be here.
Councilmember Kim Bray opposed the marijuana task force, saying it's only going to get in the way of forming council consensus and will delay implementation. How can the panel be structured to avoid that danger?
Well, first of all, I don't think that's the case. The council's going to do its work. We're going to hear from people in the community. We're going to hear from business owners. We're going to hear from people who deal with addictions and law enforcement. It's just a question of how this all happens, and this is just a little more formal way of doing it. The task force will certainly be composed, and as I'm putting the names together and suggestions, of people who will get stuff done. And I think they recognize the timetable that's short. It's 90 days. It doesn't mean we couldn't extend it, but basically the bulk of their work needs to be done within 90 days. So the public will be involved, specialists will be involved, the council will be involved, and staff will be involved no matter what path we choose. This is just a little more formal process for engaging our citizens.
Communities across the state are starting to express themselves on the question. We're seeing a patchwork develop of yay and nay. Mm-hmm. Naperville is the latest to say don't. Naperville, a pretty big, pretty affluent, pretty property tax base rich place, and a pretty purple place politically. If they can say no, there's clearly a substantial mix of opinion on this statewide. And a stark divide to get people in a municipality to turn down the revenue that comes potentially with this. What have Bloomington residents been telling you and other council members that you've been hearing from about the question?
Well, I haven't done any scientific surveys on this, but I've had very few people who say opt out. And I don't know what the specifics are with respect to Naperville that came up last night. But we're not Naperville, we're Bloomington. And as I had said, I believe, a couple weeks ago on Sound Ideas, if you are a neighboring community, please opt out. Please opt out so that Bloomington can get the revenue. And so obviously that's the selfish part of me as mayor. But I don't think that there's a climate on our council to opt out. I think the questions are going to be around law enforcement. You know, what kinds of equipment do we need in law enforcement to make sure that we can determine whether or not someone's intoxicated? Obviously, breathalyzers for alcohol are not going to be useful for cannabis. So there are things like that. We've got to decide on perhaps some zoning issues. But let's also recognize we are talking about possibly one new company, one new business that would have a dispensary somewhere in Bloomington Normal or even DeWitt County. We're all lumped together in the metropolitan area of Bloomington Normal. So it might not even be in Bloomington. It might not even be in Normal, right? So we don't really know where that dispensary would be. I would suspect that given that there's one in Normal, that there probably will be one in Bloomington, but it's not us that make that decision. So the kinds of decisions that were made are comparatively few and far between, which is one of the reasons why I thought that last night's discussion was, especially after a few minutes, entirely unproductive. The council seemed to be process-obsessed rather than results-obsessed. And I know that this council's culture is to be, you know, really concerned and worried about process, but boy, did we take it to a new level last night.
Councilmember Jen Carrillo originally framed the resolution, speaking of process, creating the task force with her as chair. The council deep-sixed that provision. What now for a chair?
Well, even if she had, the mayors are not bound by that. So even if the council had passed that, mayors are not bound by that. Councils do not have the authority in Illinois, and there's a recent Supreme Court decision that also says if councils want to make appointments, then they need to change their form of government. So, but I would think that.
So she didn't get a consensus on the council, and it wouldn't have worked anyway. So what message does that send to Carrillo?
Maybe it's just as simple as don't specify specifically who's chair. I think what that actually comes from is a model when I created a budget task force back in 2015, when Jeff Juergens put together a memo on this, the the chamber and others had already nominated people, and we had it, and the committee had already decided who they wanted as chair. We sent the whole list over, but that was a mayoral formed commission, and so I think that that was the situation there. I don't think all the woman Carrillo was trying to say, "I've got to be the chair of this committee." I think she was just following the model that was given to her by Jeff Jerkins.
Well, that is the question. Is it a political misstep to say, pick me, I want to be chair, or is it more appropriate for anybody to be more deferential and say, I would serve as chair, I'd like to be chair, but y'all got to decide to pick me?
Right. Yeah, and I don't think it was the former. I don't think Alderwoman Carrillo was saying, I've got to be chair, pick me. I think she was looking at the model that was given to her by our corporate counsel from a commission of 4.5 years ago, which was a very different story. That was a mayoral task force, and it did specify the chair. It specified all of the people on the commission at that point.
Because it originated from the mayor's office.
It originated from the mayor rather than from a city council woman or person. And so I think that that's the issue. And in that situation, I did actually not choose the chair, who happened to be David Sage. The task force decided who would be chair. I certainly did ask and chatted with him about it. The same thing when we had the downtown task force that was put together in 2017, and that was chaired by a council member at that time, Amelia Burgess.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Mayor Terry Renner of Bloomington about council developments and other issues facing the city. Let's move to the State Farm building. Luxury apartments, do you think they'll fly?
Well, at this point, whether I think they'll fly is immaterial. We've got somebody who has a track record in downtown development and historic buildings, has made an economic assessment of our community, noting that we're the most wealthy community in downstate Illinois, and has decided to make an investment there, and the building is preserved. So my opinion on that particular piece is not relevant. I don't have enough data, frankly, to make that assessment. I always thought that it needed to be multiple uses, and there will be some light retail on the first few floors. But the main thing is I'm thrilled as mayor. This is a really important building, obviously perhaps one of the two most important buildings in our downtown. Defines the skyline to the extent that we've got a skyline in downtown Bloomington. And if it had been demolished, it would be disastrous for our downtown and our historic character of downtown.
Well, you're perhaps understating it to say your opinion doesn't matter. And WGLT's Eric Stock surveyed a number of other large historic building rescue projects around the Midwest, including Dubuque, Des Moines, Rock Island, and Peoria. The one constant prerequisite for success is public sector involvement to get the deal done. So do you believe council members and you will go for that in this case?
Well, especially at this point, there have been no requests for any public incentives. So we'll see if that continues. But as always, the a policy that we've had in Bloomington has been that a project, this would be, of course, a multi-million-dollar project, has to pay for itself. So if you want some sort of rebate back, it has to come from your investment, not out of our city's treasury.
So when will you meet with the developer/purchaser to take that request for city involvement?
Whenever they want to sit down and contact us, if they name the time and date, I will be there.
Do you have anything scheduled?
No.
Heard potentially it's yet this week.
It's not this week.
Okay. Next week then?
I don't know. I know you want to pin me down, but right. I honestly don't know. I'd give you some general idea if I had any idea.
All righty. Plan B, if this does fall through again.
If this falls through, I have a heart attack.
Okay.
Maybe not literally, but, you know.
Are there any tools left in the box? Any faint, even the faintest of prospects if this one fails to develop?
Yes, but this is the main prospect that we have. And, you know, I don't see any reason why, from all that I have understood about what's going on and the involvement that I've had, that this is going to fall through.
What remaining role do you think the state, Save Our State Farm Building Group can play in this?
That's actually a really good question, and I don't know the exact answer to that, but they have certainly dropped a request for the S4 zoning for the building. And I think that given the background of urban designs, and that is their background with dealing with historic downtown buildings, I think that they have been very pleased at this development.
So there has been some thought that the difficulty in finding a buyer and a redeveloper has something to do with the lack of action in the downtown building over the last, or in the downtown over the last several decades. Do you think that the city should say, okay, in support of this redevelopment project, we will, independent of that project, plunk down some other money in downtown?
It depends on what that money would be used for and what the investment is. Yeah, and I think
there's a plan laid out in the city's master plan.
But it depends on what private investments or private options that we have, what public-private partnerships that we can forge. But we definitely, obviously, we've got a downtown plan. We've got a comprehensive plan that does call for an anchor project. And that could mean several things. It could be using eminent domain in a couple of dilapidated properties. It could very well be that we're obviously going to be working with Connect Transit on a downtown transfer center. And we do have some have had lots of successes in downtown. So I think that's one of the reasons why that there was certain interest. It's on Route 66. We've got the Route 66 Visitor Center opened about 4.5 years ago. And that was actually, it's not a major anchor, but it is at least to some degree an anchor. And if we did not have a plan and had been making progress, we would not have gotten any kind of investment from anybody out either in or outside of our community.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Our guest today is Mayor Terry Renner of Bloomington. The county board recently heard that its administration is in talks to move some Bloomington city functions out of the current city hall and into the government center. That could include the city manager's suite. Just how extensive are those talks, and what would be left in city hall?
Well, there is, I would say, stay tuned. This is an announcement that's coming fairly soon. And there are plans that the city and the county are working on, and it would be clear who would be left at City Hall in that 1961 building that I often suggest comes out of a bad episode of Mad Men, except there's no booze and no smoking in it. But there is an announcement coming here very soon, possibly this week, but probably no later than next week.
Well, let's wait for clarity on that. As we found out on a Monday afternoon, Unit 5 Superintendent Mark Daniel will leave after the end of the school year. That offers the school board an opportunity to find a new superintendent and to look ahead with the district needs and the community needs. What do you think Bloomington needs more of from Unit 5 in a superintendent?
I don't know what we need more of. I think it's a huge loss, of course, to have lose Mark Daniels. Mark came about the time I was elected mayor, and I've got to know him well. I think he's been a strong administrator. I know he's had some problems and crises, some of which were very difficult for him to resolve, particularly with contracts with private bus companies. So he kind of hit the privatization wall too. But I think, you know, in general, a good manager and a good visionary right now is recognizing that Unit 5 in the outside, you know, part of the ring of the donut is not growing anywhere near as fast as it had been in previous decades. And our comprehensive plan does call for more investment and more growth inside so-called infill. And that we know is not only more sustainable, it costs us less money, we can provide better 911 service, you know, et cetera, whether it's ambulance or fire or police. So for lots of reasons, sprawl costs us money. So as we're moving in that direction, both the school systems need to realize that there may be some changes. If I had my way, frankly, District 87 would be worrying about too much growth. But obviously that's not happening yet, but hopefully we will get there.
Well, I mean, Unit 5 has all of these relatively new schools on the city periphery. Are those going to remain viable in the new world?
Well, I don't think that we're talking about having decreases in the population of around in the surrounding areas. It's just that our growth, we want to channel our future growth within underperforming areas that are largely located within the central part of our community. Whether or not it's Eastland Mall or downtown or some areas of the west side or even south Bloomington, we're concentrating on growing in those communities, in those areas.
At the news event announcing Superintendent Daniels' departure, a number of his strengths and a number of achievements were noted, among them the development of a special education facility and the workforce development efforts that Unit 5 has done with articulation agreements with Heartland Community College and with various businesses. One thing, though, that has continually plagued, and this predates Superintendent Daniel, is a structural deficit. Part of that is state-caused, but part of that is just the way things are. Unit 5 has a $12.5 million structural deficit, which would take a cut of more than 100 teachers and many programs to close. We've had mutterings of referendums for years, but no resolution to how that will be addressed. As someone with a stake in presenting Bloomington Normal as a vibrant place to live, how do you think Unit 5 should resolve this?
Wow. Well, that's we have our own, of course, had our own budget challenges. Our operating expenses are largely under control. It's our capital projects that we're concerned with. But some of this has to be done incrementally. You're not going to deal with it in one fell swoop, and it's going to have to involve some combination of new revenues and some combination of cuts, and that's almost certainly going to be the case. But the thing that we have to understand is that we as a community need to have a strong school system or school systems. We've got strong universities, but we also need strong K through 12 education programs. Whether we are trying to attract new talent or new businesses, as we're moving forward in the 21st century, that is absolutely essential. So there may be any number of things and intergovernmental agreements that we can work out. We've been able to work out things with the county and mental health. There may be some things that we can continue to work with Unit 5 and District 87 that involves more city effort in that project.
How long does Unit 5 have remaining to deal with this? Can it wait for a new superintendent, or should they bite the bullet and either go for a referendum or cuts or both this coming year?
Well, I think they'd have to make that determination about when they go for a referendum.
What do you think?
I would say right now, I mean, you can't just wait. You've got to immediately, and I doubt that Unit 5 is just waiting, and I doubt that Mark Daniel is just waiting, even though he's leaving. I think he wants to make sure that he's leaving the state of Unit 5 in as good a shape as possible when his successor is chosen. So, yeah, I don't know what those cuts would be at this point. That's what they'd have to be, and they don't always have to be cuts. Sometimes you can do more with less, and I'm sure they've been involved in that. It has, for many years. But going for a referendum, I don't know. That's a really good question. That's more of a political question that I'd have to ponder more.
Can a referendum pass with a lame duck superintendent?
Yes.
How so?
Lame duck superintendents, at least as far as I know, in terms of research, don't necessarily have any particular effect on whether or not a referendum passes. The things that matter in terms of whether a referendum passes in schools and school taxes is whether or not it's clearly identified that there is a need and that the benefits of that tax are clearly articulated to voters and that you have a strong organized effort, a public relations effort to push that forward.
Let me circle back to an earlier topic as our final question. What remaining use can that 1961 City Hall have? What is it suited for?
Well, it's probably best suited for a 1961 bank. But since we don't really have many of those anymore, in the short term, it could be best suited for perhaps our public works, consolidating public works. If we know that the Public Works Department is just one building hop over the police department, and so many of our public service workers are already in that area. So that is certainly one possibility. The other thing is that now that we also own the library and all the areas south of there, there could be some sort of reconfiguration of where what Bloomington city government looks like 10, 20 years from now.
Mayor Terry Renner, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Charlie.